Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I'm so glad you're here for the next 45 minutes to have some fun Disney talk. Pam and Ricky are back. The crew's back together, and we're answering your listener questions today. We talk about what the indoor mask policy really means. Where do you got to put your mask on? Where is it not required? We also talk about ways to get out of the madness of the crowds and enjoy some downtime when you're on your Disney vacation. We get a question about Wilderness Lodge versus Animal Kingdom Lodge for a family with three small kids, which would be better. Helping your significant other fall in love with Disney when they're not as big of a Disney fan as you, and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget, today's podcast is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out over at themagicforless.com. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best when it comes to the amount of trips they book each year and the feedback they get from their guests on those trips. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It's one extra click and it really does help us out. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put out multiple podcasts each and every week that go all around the world. We can do that because of your support. Our patrons also get a fifth podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1942 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. So glad you're here, and we're here, and we have lots of questions here in the live chat and in the inbox, and that's what we're doing today. Because we've been doing this for about the last decade, we answer your listener questions every Wednesday. So we have the crew back together again. Very exciting time. Seems like it's been since, springtime, since we've been all together, but probably not that long. But just glad to have everybody back and joining us today from the mouseforless.com, where you can check out all the newest information on all the Disney destinations. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
It is good to be back after not being here for the last week, but I had a great time celebrating my birthday at Walt Disney World and Universal, and actually it was also Brian and my 15th wedding anniversary, so I kind of took a little break on social and everything and just sort of enjoyed the last, 10 days, so, just celebrating, so that part was nice, but I'm glad to be back in the thick of things now, so that's good.
Real quick, we're going to talk about this on Friday. Something unexpected that happened down either at Universal or Walt Disney World. Kind of tease it. Maybe you got a story for us on Friday, but anything special that kind of still sticks in your mind?
Oh, that is a good question. We definitely had a dining experience that Brian has said is the best dining experience he's had at the Magic Kingdom. So there's that.
Oh, so you're not going to tell us what it is. It wasn't Casey's.
No, I'm going to just give you the tease.
You know what? I saw your social media. I know what it is, but I'm not going to say it. But I bet you I know what it is. I'll say it on Friday's show.
Okay, we'll see if you're right.
Okay. I have an idea. Right. So don't let me forget, because I totally forget stuff like this all the time. Probably drives the listeners nuts. I'm Mike in the Midwest. I always get into a topic and I get distracted, and then I go back. I'm like, dude, I didn't even address that topic I said at the top of the show. It would drive me nuts.
I didn't even talk about it.
Every time. And I apologize for that, everybody. All right. We also have our other co-host, Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. She is back from Walt Disney World. She did the quintuple resort stay more, something like that. So welcome back, Pam. Glad to have you.
Yes. I don't even know how many resorts I was at, but I was all over. But it was so much fun. Each time I'm going, I don't know, I feel like I'm just experiencing Walt Disney World differently than I had in the past. And I'm not going to lie, I don't hate it. In fact, I actually kind of like it. So
what?
You like that's one of the things that I, one of the positives I can take from everything that has gone on in the past, however long we are now at this point, I'll take it, because it really, I mean, our trips have just not stopped being fantastic. So
good.
I'm excited about that.
It's exciting to be out of the house and to be in a place where you can have, fine dining. And here, again, I've said this many times. But I think if you want things to feel more normal, because most of our listeners have been to Walt Disney World before, not everybody. Some folks listen and they're getting ready for that very first trip, which I'm always jealous about because there's nothing like a first time when everything is. That's why I think why I got such a huge kick out of going to Silver Dollar City this summer was because I didn't know where anything was. Like, I didn't do a lot of research intentionally because I loved, like, oh my gosh, I had no idea this was here. You know, I could get these. I mean, everything you ate down there was like a heart attack on a stick. Like, everything was like fried foods on a stick. It was great. I mean, it was like, and I was like, yes, there's another stand. I can't believe. But I mean, you get that. But the thing is, too, is, you know, it is what you make it. And going down right now, I mean, while things are a little bit different, it's also an opportunity to see things in a different way or to try new ways. I mean, how many people would have not used mobile order if it wasn't for the pandemic? I mean, it's kind of reteaching us ways to do old, you know, old things. Because, I mean, I was on mobile order because I like technology, but I don't think everybody else was. Kind of stinks now. Because now I'm going to fight everybody for it. Back in the day, it was fast pass.
It's true, though. It does. It makes you just look at things differently. And maybe you just appreciate things a little more. And, I mean, it's probably a combination of all these different things. But it's... Our trips have just been fantastic, really and truly. And I'm always so glad every time I get to go back. So,
all right, we'll talk about that on Friday. Lots to talk about. Right now, we got to take care of the questions. That's why we're here. So Parker Owens in the live chat, thanks for being here, says, what's the best way to get to the Magic Kingdom early for Rope Drop from Art of Animation and the Polynesian? Drive or Disney transportation? Late August, split stay. Thank you. All right, Pam, you were just actually at the Polynesian. Actually, you were also at Art of Animation. I know you guys always rent a car, but what is the best way? Because it sounds like they're going to have a car because he's asking drive or Disney transportation, because the Magic Kingdom's its own little special beast.
For sure, it is. So at the Polynesian, that answer is easy. You're going to walk. You're going to take the walkway and go around to the Grand Floridian, then from the Grand Floridian over to the Magic Kingdom. That is going to be the best way for you to get to the Magic Kingdom prior to it opening. Art of Animation and every other resort, actually, besides the ones right there that you can walk to the Magic Kingdom, it's challenging right now because Disney transportation only starts, let's say, a certain amount of time before the parks are going to open. That also happens to be the time when the bus transportation from your resorts is the busiest. If anyone out there in the interwebs is posting pictures of the bus line being busy, it's going to be because it was the first thing in the morning, right? That's almost always the case. And of course, that's going to be first thing in the morning for a period of time. That's when most of the visitors are going to those parks and things like that. So that's the one thing that I will say makes it a little challenging. But I will also share with you, when we were in that Pop Century Art of Animation area, it was very prevalent that in the morning, Disney is quite aware that that's the busiest time of the morning. And they were sending not just regular Disney bus, not the super long Disney buses. They were sending full-on coaches to pick up people in addition to the Disney buses. And they were coming very regularly. So I think even if you're staying at Art of Animation, you're going to be better off taking Disney transportation. Just be patient because in the morning, again, that's going to be your longest wait. The reason why I'm going to say that is if you were to drive, first of all, the TTC parking lot, which is the parking lot for the Magic Kingdom, is only going to open so much in advance of the park opening. And after you get to the TTC, you have to walk to either the monorail or the ferry to get you to the Magic Kingdom. So I think you're going to be better off with Disney transportation.
Here's like a philosophical thing I have for bus transportation. If you want to be like, you know, the ultimate rope dropper, because you want to be ahead of the crowd and you want to, you know, kind of maximize that time, which I think is a good idea. But it's kind of a sacrifice on one end or the other. And so say the buses start running at Art of Animation at 7 o'clock a.m. You know what? You might have to go out there, and if you get to the bus stop at 6:30, while you're sitting there and you're wasting, in air quotes, you're wasting 30 minutes before the buses are even running, you're probably going to be on the very first bus that leaves Art of Animation, which means you're going to be ahead of everybody almost at the Magic Kingdom. And so, you know, you got to kind of play with things. Like, is it wasting time? I mean, you got to get up super early to do that. the buses are running quickly, I think, especially because I stayed at Pop Century for a few nights. And the thing was, it looks worse than it actually is. When you walk out there, you're like, oh, my Lord, like that's a long line for the Magic Kingdom bus. But like you said, Pam, they're flooding the buses at park opening. You might have three stacked at one time. There's constantly loading. And like I said, there's motor coaches and the stretchy buses. And I mean, we had some long lines. We didn't wait super long. It was I was pleasantly surprised. So
I totally agree. The worst part of it was actually hearing the other guests around you.
Right. Well, I mean, it's that, and it's also entertaining if you know what you know. You know, like, and it's also hard to bite. It's also hard to bite your tongue. You know,
it is. But I don't offer unsolicited advice.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah,
you can't
never,
wait.
Ever. Exactly. Yeah, ever. No.
Like, oh, you've been, I've been a couple times. Yeah.
I act like I'm like, this might be my first.
Exactly.
Trip.
I'm just like, no,
I don't know.
The only thing I will speak of every once in a while, like if I'm sitting on a bus with a family and like, you know, you can tell they're like, you know, some family, they're all together, grandma, grandpa, the family, and they're just going to walk into a bad spot. You know, like you've heard them say it. And yeah. Like, you just know, like, that is not the right answer. Like, no, because it's going to cost you. Like, I will speak up and just say, you know, I overheard you, you know, and like, we come here pretty often. Like, you know, just try this. Trust me. Yeah. But I don't like to do that. But I also don't like to see people that are first timers just bomb out.
I totally agree.
All right. Josh has a question. How about this one, Ricky? Trying to decide an Animal Kingdom Lodge versus Wilderness Lodge for two nights before going to a house with friends for a week. They have kids. Three kids. They're 7, 5, and 2.
Oh.
What would you pick?
Well, this is tough because I do love the proximity of Wilderness Lodge to the Magic Kingdom. Yep. So if they're going to spend a lot of time at the Magic Kingdom, which I assume with the ages of the kids, they probably are. So I would consider the Wilderness Lodge for that. But, I mean, how can you ignore the animals out your window? I mean, hopefully they would pick a Savannah view room for Animal Kingdom Lodge. So if you're going to do that with the ages of the kids, and I mean, heck, us adults too, let's just be perfectly honest. I mean, how awesome is it to watch a giraffe or a zebra walk past your room? Then I would consider Animal Kingdom Lodge. But it really just depends on where you're planning on being the most during this. If you're planning on staying around the other theme parks or, you know, the resort for that time, I would go Animal Kingdom Lodge. But if you're going to do the Magic Kingdom, I would say Wilderness Lodge.
Perfectly said. If you're going to spend time at the resort, Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think, wins by a hair. But if you're going to be going to the Magic Kingdom a lot, I would stay at Wilderness Lodge. They both have great pools. Kids
yeah,
are going to love
do.
Both. I mean, I think kids would love both. Pam, what do you, I mean, I think Ricky nailed it on that.
Yeah, I do. I will say the one thing I will that is in Wilderness Lodge's favor is that those rooms have just been redone. And I think they did a spectacular job with those rooms as well. It's just really nice to see. They're sort of lighter and airier. And I think that the Wilderness Lodge sort of needs that. I would like to see something like that the next time they redo Animal Kingdom Lodge, because those rooms always feel a little bit dark to me.
I can do that. Yeah.
They do. But I mean, I kind of like that. I don't know, like, I think it just fits. I like that dark
feel.
Yeah,
I get that too.
All right, Michelle's got a question here. Thanks for joining us, Michelle. What is the one go-to end-all experience you recommend that will convert a non-Disney person into a true believer? My husband, dare I say, doesn't like, quote, amusement parks, and I need to convert him. Help! Okay, so here's mine. Besides the PB&J shake at 50s primetime, because that will convert anybody. No, just kidding, but it is pretty. I wish I had one right now. And I think Pam's going to kind of go the same way. For me, it's not even the theme parks. It's the resorts. Pick a good resort and stay at the resort. You know, I mean, like Pam, I think, is going to talk about on Friday, the Polynesian. I mean, you, other than going to the South Seas, like, you know, you get a very unique experience there. Maybe an old Key West where you get that, you know, south, you know, like Key West kind of feel. Or I think the resorts really sell guess on that it's vacation and it's not just going to a Six Flags or a Cedar Point. Of course, they have the themed entertainment within the theme parks, which is tons of fun. You guys might pick something in there. But I think if you want to avoid the amusement park vibe, I think it's the time spent at the resort and the room, the restaurants at the resort, the pools, stuff like that. So I'd say, you know, kind of find his sweet spot for a resort and nail it. You may, and also maybe like if he's a golfer, stay at Old Key West where he can be right there at Lake Winnevista Golf Course or the Polynesian, go over to the Palm of the Magnolia. Something like, you know, find a passion that he's got and kind of build on it. So Ricky, what advice would you have?
that was exactly going to be my advice, was find something that he's really, really, really into and kind of match that up to his vacation. So if he likes to relax a little bit more at the, you know, on vacation, like Mike said, stay at a nice resort, enjoy time by the pool, spend a lot of time there. If he, you know, it's not there anymore, but for my husband, one of the things that was huge for him was at the time NASCAR and racing, and they had the Richard Petty driving experience, which we actually did. So, I mean, you know, like I tailored that for him to help him kind of fall in love with the theme parks and take things slow too. So don't, you know, go, 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 which I know is something that so many of us Disney fans they fall into that trap for. I mean, myself is included. I'm starting to try and take things a little slower now. But you definitely want to try to do that for a first timer, because you don't want to hit them over the head with just everything. So you definitely want to take things a little slower. I would find some dining that he would very much enjoy. Definitely more table service options. I think at least try to have one table service option every day, and tailor that toward his taste of meal as well. So really kind of try to make the trip, I don't want to say as much about him as you possibly can, but, you know, like kind of veer in that direction a little bit. So that way he gets to see what everything is like and he can hopefully fall in love with it as well. Cause that's the dream, right? I suckered my husband into falling in love. So
you're on your A-game, Ricky. You took a little break and you came back like you're on fire. Like these answers are great. I'm just saying, I like this.
Maybe I need a week away from social media. I'm just saying.
That is probably great advice for all of us. I'm just saying.
Like, I think that week away, I was like, I can breathe again. Yes. And then
you're a year older and a year wiser too now.
I am a year older. I'm not a year older. What are you talking about? Don't make me come after you.
Yeah. All right, and I still remember, it seems like forever ago. Like I still remember staying at the Wilderness Lodge one time. You could hear the race cars and I roam.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience when they had that. I mean, I didn't let him drive the race car because I felt like
that would have been awesome. Dude, you should have let him drive. That would have been great.
I let him sit in the passenger seat next to a driver. No, so I thought that was a little bit safer because goodness knows we do not want Brian driving around a racetrack at, you know, that high of speed. And I'm just saying.
I have seen the guy weaving in and out of cones at the marathon on World Drive. So,
cones. Yeah. Let's put it this way. Brian probably wouldn't have gone the speed limit that he would have needed to go for the race car experience because he like drives like a grandma here. So, I mean, he probably would have gone like 40 miles under the speed limit.
that breaks my heart. All right, Pam, what other advice you have here?
I think the advice that both of y'all gave were great. I think that one of the things that I would suggest is that I think the thing that many people don't enjoy about an amusement park is the fact that it's go wait in line all day long.
Yep.
And at Walt Disney World, you just don't have to do that. You can spend a few hours in the park. Then you can absolutely go back to your Disney resort. As both of y'all have mentioned, it's just a really unique experience. There is something about those resorts that is really magical and adds to that experience. It really does. It enhances it. And when you have things like those fantastic pools and great restaurants and other recreation options, there's just no reason to spend all your time in the park. And I think that is the thing I would recommend to convert someone who is opposed to amusement parks. Guess what? Don't spend all your time in the parks.
I know. It's so weird because like I love the theme parks, but like the more time I spend outside of them at the resorts, the more I appreciate the parks when I'm in them. You know,
for
like,
sure.
Because I, you know, when I try to, and I know Ricky, you tend to stay longer, but like if I try to stay for a full day without taking a break, like it's just like I'm not even having fun in the evening. I'm just like,
I don't get there until noon. Well,
that's true.
Then it works out for me. I'm just saying. See, then I can stay till park close.
You like standing in those long lines. That's cool. Whatever. All right.
I know how to get through the difference. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Ashley Gibson in the live chat says, finally, Pam is back. Welcome. How about that?
What am I, chopped liver?
I know. Ricky's back here. And you know what? I'm always here. I'm like a reliable
dog. Yeah, because you won't let us do a show without you.
That's right. Because I love doing the shows. This is my favorite thing. So it always has been. Anyway,
he's been on his you know, sick bed, and he's still like, dude. I can still do
that. I was having surgery for the kidney stone. Like, please, I got a podcast on Monday. Just get it.
That's not a joke. That's actually what happened. Like, you think that's a joke? Like, that's actually what happened.
You consent to surgery? Well, can I podcast on Monday? Sure. Okay. Let's do it. Let's
Pam go. And I were like, Mike, we got you. We'll take care of it. You're like, no.
Anyway, she says, Ashley, I need to know, D23 in November at Walt Disney World. Am I going to regret going that weekend? Always book that weekend. And then they announce the expo. Thoughts? What should I expect? Has anybody been down for a D23 event at Walt Disney World? I never have. I've done the race weekends.
No, I've always wanted to, but I know this is going to shock everybody. I'm not a D23 member. I know.
I was at the very beginning. I got like a watch or something.
I was like, I'm the free member, but I'm not a paid member. And you know, a lot of times it's because the events, well, they don't really come to Atlanta, and they don't, you know, I'm not near California, and it's a little bit easier to get to Florida, obviously, but they sell out so quickly. I mean, I think we watched, you know, this D23 event sell out in no time flat. The good news is that most of the people that are going to these D23 events, they are going to an actual like event. So at D23 in Walt Disney World, it's really like these seminars that guests get to go to that are D23 members, and they sit through the seminars and learn about Walt Disney World and, you know, the history and how the things come to fruition and that kind of stuff. So really they're sitting in these seminars and they're not really in the parks. So the only time you may see like an influx of guests would probably be in the evenings. And otherwise I think you're going to be just fine. It's not going to be the number of guests who go to the D23. It's destination D is what this is. Not the D23 expo, which is in California. And that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, see, I can't keep track of all the names of all the stuff. Cause I haven't gone. So like, you know, like I know the stuff I've been to, like you have concrete examples, but like destination D, D23 expo, I get all confused.
No, it's easy to get confused. But the Destination D event, which is what happens at Walt Disney World, it's a much, much smaller scale. I mean, very, very small scale. There's, you know, probably a few thousand, maybe, people that go to that that can get into it. So it's not what you're thinking of, like the D23 Expo, which is, you know, tens of thousands of people, you know, at a convention center and that kind of thing. Like, this is a much, much smaller experience. So I think you're going to be just fine. You're not going to really,
I would guess, way less impact than a race weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So I really don't think it's going to impact you at all. I mean, like I said, maybe in the evening, but I doubt that because it's just not going to be that many people.
All right, here's a great question from Len Wilcox, one of my great guests over at the Magic for Less Travel. He's in here, Sparty up in his little fixture there. Scott would be proud of that because he's in Lansing. My wife and I are experienced 60-year-old Disney World travelers. This October, we're going on our first three-generations trip with a 18-month-old and a 6-year-old. Can you suggest any hidden gems in the parks or resorts for the 6-year-old? For example, something like the old Sorcerer's the Magic Kingdom game. So what do you think, Pam? Something outside of the norm that's going to blow the socks off the 6-year-old. Len's been asking me about this. So here it is. We're bringing it to the table. What can we do?
Honestly, I would say I would say that one of the things a 6-year-old is going to like is the activities at the pool in the afternoon. I'm going to tell you this. It's going to break your heart that he or she is going to be more excited about doing some of those activities at the pool than they could be about going to the parks, just because that is something that's really engaging for kids. And I think it really touches on some of those core memories, right? Because they're interacting with other kids at the same time. And so that, I think, helps them remember it. Now, having said that, there are other things at the resort that I think are really worth experiencing, not just for the kids, but as a family too. I'm going to give another plug to one of our favorite things, the Movies Under the Stars. I think that is absolutely a hidden gem that happens at the resorts that is really worth experiencing. And together too, I think that that's something that makes it really special. And also the campfires that they have,
where
they
yes.
roast marshmallows and do that, because it's not, you know, something that everyone gets to do. In the parks, I think that there's just so much going on that I know that people are always looking for something to make it that much more special. But sometimes it's hard to make it more special than a day at Walt Disney World, right? You're in the Magic Kingdom, kid. What more do you want, right?
Exactly.
But have them get involved in the planning a little bit. Like, maybe there is an out of this, like something that you didn't even think about, meal that this child, once he knows about it or she knows about it, is really excited to experience. There were weird things that Hannah would want to do when she was a kid, when we were saying, you know, we're going to Disney World, what do you want to do? And I say weird because, like, the answer was always so surprising to me. Like, really?
That's
okay, yes, we'll do that. You know what I mean? But I think getting them involved in that planning process then gives them something to look forward to, which really increases your chances that they're going to be blown away by that kind of thing.
I think that's great, great stuff because, you know, as I look back, if both Paige and – because when Paige was – it's kind of when they first started the, like, the poolside games, you know, and they would – you know, they have, like – because they, you know, have like basically they have like a little sound system there. They roll out with, you know, they have prizes for all these little games. They'll throw stuff in, you know, like a little, you know, dive in and grab the frog, or, you know, they'll do, you know, Disney trivia. We always won Disney trivia. It's just like shooting fish in a barrel at that. I love it. It's like, oh yeah, we're getting a prize, baby. And then, like, you know, Mallory, one time we lost and I was like, oh, dude, sorry. Like, Mallory got mad. She's like, we've lost. I'm like, I know we lost. There's people know more about Disney than I do. I just, usually it's pretty easy, but yeah, she's still mad, I think. But you know what? The funny thing is, like, on this past trip, they were playing those poolside games at Stormalong Bay. And, like, that's all she could talk about. I was like, remember when, you know, Pop Century, remember when? Like, I was like, dude, I mean, like, you don't ever talk about anything else, but, you know, she remembers that. And that,
yeah.
And, you know, usually they play them for like 2 or 3 hours. And, like, we could not leave when those were until, like, the DJ girl rolled out with the cart. Then we had permission to leave the pool, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know. Ricky, what else you got?
So, there are a couple of those interactive type experiences in the parks, if that's something that you're kind of looking for. At the Seas with Nemo and Friends, they actually have. Now, I've seen them there before. I think they're mostly there. They have these little booklets, and you can kind of explore the different fish that are in the different tanks. And, you know, it's obviously fish that would be in, you know, the Finding Nemo series. So that's a kind of unique option for you. Of course, the KidCot fun stops, they are still occurring. They're just maybe not occurring in the same way that they
like,
used to.
They're kind of like flybys now. You just
they are like flybys. Yes, yes.
Which I don't love back in the day. I mean, you don't know how much time. Because here's how we used to do the Kid Cop fun stops. I hate to cut you off, but I got to tell this. So every time we go and they give you like a Duffy on a stick, or,
yes,
you know,
one,
for a while.
A
yeah, for
here,
a while,
yeah.
It was like a Perry the Platypus, or
yes.
And it just depended on like what the IP was at the time. In the way Paige did this, like on one of her first trips with Molly. So this was her best friend we took, and they were both 7. So this was, I mean, they're 24 now. So, but the thing was, I think I suggested it. God, it's a shame when your parents are teachers, for real, and you got to turn everything educational. So, like, what they would do is color, right, at each of the 11 stops. And so,
yes.
What we said was, you got to color 1/11th of the you know, the Duffy.
Oh no!
In only the colors of that nation's flag.
And
so, dude, we spent so much time at those picnic tables because then they had to figure out what the color of the flag was, and they had to color it all neat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, we're wasting 3 hours.
But yeah,
the flyby thing looks really good now. When I was down there this summer, I was like, dude, the flyby, these parents are winning.
Well, they stop even coloring the dub, right. You know, like they really just hand you a like a postcard type thing and they stamp it now. I think that's pretty much all they do. But at least it gives you some information about the country and, you know, that kind of thing. The one other thing that they do, and this is at Disney's Animal Kingdom, is they have the Wilderness Explorers.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Which is a fantastic experience. Definitely something that you should do. I mean, even adults can do the Wilderness Explorers too. And it's another booklet, and you kind of it takes after the movie Up and Russell, you know, and his badges and things like that. So you have to go and you have to collect badges, which are stickers, and you have to kind of do a few tasks and things like that while you're going around the park and learning about, you know, the different animals or different regions of countries and stuff like that. So it's kind of a cool experience too. So those are a few of the like educational learning opportunities that you know, they're still fun, that I think like a 6-year-old would very much enjoy, or, you know, older than that too. So
there you go. It's good, great ideas. And also Rhonda Lee says Hidden Mickeys, you know, maybe get a book, and then that's something that's ongoing as you're in the theme parks, all 4 theme parks, even other places around property. And shout out to Rhonda Lee's Canadian women's soccer team. Well done.
There we go.
Yes, very, very big win. Okay, let's see here. Jennifer's got a question. What are some of the outside of the parks, off the beaten path things to do to get away from the crowds? We're there next week and want some ways to get out of the crowds. One of my ways, I would just say real quick, because we've kind of talked about some of the stuff right now, hang at your pool, stuff like that, be at the resort. If you're at the Magic Kingdom, I love to have a lunch outside of the Magic Kingdom itself if you can draw yourself away from corn dog nuggets and cheese. Or, Columbia Harbor House will be back open. Forget it. You got to have lunch.
Oh my gosh, Mike. I thought of you when
it got
announced.
I know. It was like Christmas.
Mike is going to be so mad he missed it.
I was doing the Ted Lasso dance.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yes,
I haven't seen Ted Lasso. I hear it's really good, though.
Dude, have you seen Ted Lasso, Pam?
I have not.
Oh, man. You guys both got to watch it. It's a great show. I haven't seen
season
two.
I may need Apple
yet.
Plus. I don't have it.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's a very optimistic show. It's
awesome.
Got a good message.
I've heard really good things about it.
It's very positive. Yeah, so I'm just saying, this little PSA, that's pretty awesome. Some of the stuff he says, though, is pretty funny. Okay, so anyway, because now I'm going to be laughing, so I'll be thinking all of his quotes. My biggest thing is to have lunch outside of the Magic Kingdom. One of the things I like to do at the Magic Kingdom is take the boat over to Fort Wilderness. You know, this kind of walk around Fort Wilderness, just it's so opposite of the chaos of the Magic Kingdom with everybody going. You can just walk around. You can go in the store. There's a playground there. Just the boat ride itself is relaxing. You can maybe check out some of the campers over there because they're pretty sweet. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff over there to look at. So that'd be my observation. What do you got, Pam?
Yeah, I think getting out of the parks is the way to do it, too. And if you can't get out of the parks, a sit-down lunch, I think, is a great way to just sort of escape the craziness. I can remember many of time being at the Magic Kingdom and being so, so thankful that we had a lunch reservation at Tony's, and I'm like, I'm going to sit down and get that antipasto salad and a nice tea. And just, this is before they even serve liquor in the Magic Kingdom, right? And just be glad that I can be out of the wackiness of, you know, just being there. It sort of gives you a new perspective on things when you're, you know, you've had some time to sit in the AC for a while and have a decent meal. So I think that that's a good way to do it. And I think to just keep, you know, when you check in, ask for the schedule of activities there for your resort. And that will give you some things, too, because in addition to the pool games, many of the resorts that we were at also had some craft activities. Some of them had a nominal fee, but they were truly nominal. We're talking under $10 here, but they did tie-dye shirts or some painting the ceramics or all of those kind of things. So make sure you check those out, too.
The kids love those. Everybody, adults love those things. But I mean, it's like, again, that's the thing. Like, oh, yeah, we went to the Magic Kingdom. What was your favorite part? You're like, oh, so you think it's going to be like riding Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or.
Right.
No, it was painting the pumpkin beach club or something. Like, no,
exactly.
No, we could have done that on the corner back home. Yeah, it's so, so sad. Just don't say that out loud when we go home. You got to say Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Just kidding. That's how it is.
Yes.
All right, Ricky, let's get to the next question because you guys were down there and I want to hit this one because this one's topical here. Cindy's asking, she says, hey, I'm minutes late in joining. We know I've marked you as tardy. I can't help it. I used to be a teacher.
That's right.
Next your name.
We started around 5:30.
That's right. I mean, yeah, we had a big pre-show tonight, too. If you missed that, I'm telling you, go to the video. Not Ted Lasso funny, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, she says, but if you cover the specifics of what indoor masking means, for example, the queue for Thunder Mountain is primarily outside, mask or no mask? All right, Ricky, you want to tackle this one? Because you've probably written on it, I guess.
I have experienced it. So not this last trip, because this last trip I didn't have to wear a mask. But trips before, so I had the indoor masking issue. And it's basically as soon as you enter a queue line, no matter whether, you know, it's Big Thunder, which, you know, or it's an actual indoor queue line, you have to put your mask on. And the cast members will tell you to put your mask on as soon as you enter the queue. Now, I will say, if there's like an extended queue that's outside or whatever, before you get in line, like I had experienced this with Big Thunder, then they don't have you put the mask on until you actually like cross the threshold under the, you know, the actual entrance of the attraction. So I hope that kind of helps you. But yeah, they will tell you as soon as you like officially enter the attraction.
So, Pam, you left like the day it went back into effect, right on that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Ricky, you were there at the Magic. What park did you go to? I know you went to Universal, but did you go?
Yeah, we went to the Magic Kingdom, and then we did go to Epcot.
So, I mean, everything was just kind of like it was there a couple months back.
Because when I was there, you didn't have to wear a mask indoor or outdoors. So,
yeah, same. I got this.
I mean, unless
spot.
you know wanted to. So, I mean, most people weren't wearing a mask at that point.
They do. And I think, too, with one of the issues is, like, Big Thunder is actually a perfect example because while some of it is outside, once you reach a certain point, you'd be mask on, mask off, mask on, mask off.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're just trying to help with consistency and remind guests when they get in that queue, and therefore don't have to have, you know, cast members the whole way through.
Correct.
To reminding you to put the mask on for that time. But that's what it is right now. We don't know what it will be.
Who knows?
Tomorrow, the next day, or the next day after that. So, you know, just have to stay tuned.
Either does Disney or the CDC, so we're all on the same page.
True.
I'm just saying.
Valid point.
Ashley's got a... Oh, it's not a question. Sorry, I almost said it was a question. It says, not a question, but after watching Luca, I totally think Ricky needs to dress up like Julia.
Julia.
I don't know who that is. For Halloween. I couldn't stop thinking that it would be the perfect fit. I have no idea what that means, but I'll have to watch Coco, I guess, now.
Luca. Coco. Sorry, Luca. That's Luca.
Okay, I don't know. See, I don't even know what movie it is, and she even said it in the statement.
Yes, Julia is not a bad option, and I think that's really awesome. But I do have my costume for the Halloween party, and I just have to get the wig, which I know sounds really dumb since I have curly hair already, but I'm not dyeing my hair. So I am going to go as Cruella for Halloween for Mickey's Not So Scary. Not Mickey's Not So Scary, but the Boobash. Yeah, exactly. So I am dressing as Cruella. So I just got it. I got it. As soon as the first Spirit opens up here in Atlanta, I got to run over there and grab a wig because I can guarantee you they'll have a Cruella wig. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
That's exactly how they need to walk me to the Magic.
Although
it'll
be so hot probably wearing that wig. I'll be like Mike and regretting
when I was
life
Captain
choices.
Eo, I wore a wig that day and almost cost me my life. I was also
exactly.
in sweats.
It
was also
like, why August. Didn't I just dye my hair? This would have been so much easier.
Oh man, that was when the podcast was young. This podcast almost didn't make it to 13 years because I almost died in Fantasyland. That was so hot.
I was dressed as Captain EO.
Yes, it was a great costume. My wife made it. My wife made it out of sweats.
He had the wig on, but I think what almost killed him was the fact that he was actually wearing a sweatsuit in the middle of, September.
It was warm.
So it was very warm.
Should have had scrubs or something looking back.
Yeah, that was
But it was worth it. It was a great costume.
It was a great costume.
Remember Epic October? We used to do that every year.
Epic October. Anyway. This year will kind of be like another little Epic October.
Yeah.
You know,
this
will
be the ultimate.
This will actually
be the ultimate Epic October. Actually, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not dressing up like Captain EO, at least not yet. There's a 1% chance. Probably not though. Len's asking, okay, you guys are just down there. Pam, how about this one? How's construction looking over at Epcot right now?
So the front of it still. I mean, you're walking construction walls to get through it. I think the thing that I really loved about it, though, was that I can see the Epcot monorail going through Epcot again.
I was so mad I missed that. Like,
I know, right?
Oh my god,
it was awesome. Whenever we wrote it, I almost felt emotional, really and truly, just about being there. It was just so good to see that up and running again. So there were a few things that really did make me emotional when I was down there, but the Epcot monorail was, you know, it touched my heart for sure when you do that loop around Epcot right there. It's so cool. So there is still construction going on the front. I anticipate that going on for quite a while. But we're getting closer to the 50th here, and I think we're going to see some progress happen as we continue to approach that magic date. And let me just tell you, Disney construction is no joke right now. Especially in things that they want to have done by the 50th. They're not just working 9 to 5.
Nope.
They are, the construction goes on into, you know, especially in areas where a guest won't be impacted in their hotel room. It goes on for extended periods of time. So it's really interesting to see and exciting to see that Disney as a company that probably, you know, had a huge financial impact from everything that's gone on has decided, guess what? We're so optimistic about the future that we're going to dump a bunch of money into our parks and resorts. So I love seeing it.
Yep. Move that dirt. Make new stuff. Let's go.
Yep.
I'm ready.
True.
That Tron coaster, man, that thing is going fast.
It's awesome.
Really is.
I was shocked to see how far it had gone.
I can't wait to
incredible.
Ride that sucker.
Yeah.
That thing looks fun. That thing's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be so crazy awesome. I can't wait.
I can't wait, man. That's gonna be great. Okay. And they'll probably ride it once back. That thing made me puke. I'm not gonna ride it again.
Kind of
like Cloud of Passage. Did it once, I'm done. I'm too old for this stuff. Okay, last question today from Amanda, which I have no answer for because I am so confused by Run Disney right now. Everything I've learned about Run Disney over the last decade, I know nothing about it anymore. But she asks, Lots on the Run Disney courses for Wine and Dine and Marathon Weekend. With construction at Epcot, it is likely that the courses will be different. Yes, a group did. Well, is it likely the courses will be different? Yes, I mean, because like the area, that, at least for Marathon, and I think Wine and Dine Half Marathon, like where you would go through Future World, it doesn't exist anymore. Right. Like you would have to get a hard hat. Time out, grab your hard hat. Okay, whoo, go right. Okay, give me that hard hat. Okay, you're through the construction zone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that we'll even go into Epcot, I wouldn't guess, for any of the races. Even World Showcase, because legit, well, okay, here's what you might do. Now that I think about it, you might do one of those things where you go in through Mexico and go out like the International Gateway. Or like, or through that gate by UK.
Test track?
No.
Well, oh yeah.
They usually bring you in like by Mexico or China or somewhere over there.
Right.
And then they spit you out. Either that you go out through the international, not the International Gateway because that's the touch points, but you go out through, there's a big gate by on the side of the UK, kind of by where the Joffrey's coffee stand is.
Yes.
By Rose and Crown. So that would probably be it. So like I say, you touched Epcot. That's probably what they'll do because they want to make it four parks. But you obviously won't be in Future World. That'd be crazy, though. Like, if you had to go through...
Well, they could. I mean, they could. It would be a logistical nightmare, I'm sure. But they could route you through. And
I want to say, though, was it Princess, though, that we ran through that, like, that new concrete in Future World? We might have. Actually, we did. We did run through that in Princess Half Marathon.
That's what I'm saying. You could still do it.
We ran through Future World, a part of it.
Because they have, I mean, the start of the race is always at Epcot.
You know what? We came in or out one of the places next to the Imagination Pavilion in the Seas. Because you actually, on the marathon, you come in next to the Seas.
Mm-hmm. Some of the construction that's happening right now, some of those passages seem so narrow that I would hesitate. I think that they would hesitate at that. Who knows? Not to say that they can't come up with something else. I'm just saying, as it stands right now, some of those passageways are very narrow.
And I'm shocked. I mean, the whole thing is with Run Disney, I can't wait to hear the courses. I mean, it is August now, you know, and Wine and Dine is in November, beginning of November. So we should be getting some courses here soon. But, you know, I thought all these races would sell out like lickety split. I mean, as of recording right now, Marathon weekend, you can still run the marathon. You can still sign up for the Dopey Challenge. Dude, I thought it'd be gone in 5 minutes.
Wow.
I was freaking out with Scott when we were signing up over a week ago, and it's still available. For Wine and Dine, as we're recording, the half marathon and the two-course challenge both available. I mean, shocking.
That is shocking. Wow. Hey, you know, if you want to run a race at Disney, now's the time to do it, right? I guess.
It's crazy. I just don't know what to think. I mean, because
I don't either.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's just one of those things, like we talked about this on Sunday Night's Live call-in shows, that, you know, Scott and I kind of came to the opinion that, you know, we're signed up, we're hoping for the best. I mean, because chance races might not happen. I mean, they probably will now they've had registration, but I mean, it's happened before. Things are fluid, obviously, in Florida right now. But, you know, you train, you get out there and you hope for the best and whatever course they throw out there for us. I mean, the thing is, if they give us a different course, that'll be fun because a lot of us have run the races before. I'd rather run something different, so. We'll see. I mean, as long as it's not, I hope they just don't throw us on the roads. I don't want that.
Oh, yeah, that would be awful.
That'd be brutal. Okay, so we'll have to wait and see. Of course, by the time the show comes out on Wednesday, all the courses have been published. So you're welcome. That's how it always works.
You're welcome. Yeah,
that's exactly how it works with us. Okay, anyway. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. Again, Friday show. We're talking about Pam's 7 resort stay. It's close to that. Ricky's stay down at Walt Disney World. She visited Walt Disney World and Universal. So we'll talk about everything going on, food and wine, the new rooms at the Polynesian, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, you know, we'll talk food because that's what food and wine is and how it is in July. That'll be fun too.
Hot.
I bet. All right. So we are going to talk about that. But until then, don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your trip planning needs. Everything you need when you're heading to your Disney destination. We take great care of our guests every time. We just want to give you that service you get at Disney from the time you start thinking about the trip. So just visit themagicforless.com. There's great trip planning tools. Kind of look at resort guides. Decide, hey, you know, I got to say, on the Caribbean Beach Resort Guide, when you hit that one, there's a beautiful picture of the Skyliner gondolas going over, I think it's Jamaica. I just love that. I'm about to steal that from my wallpaper on my computer. So if you want to do that, Just do it. Just don't tell me. Anyway, it's a great picture. And it's, you know, then you look at it, you can see all the room types. You can see, oh, there's different dining available, Sebastian's Bistro. You can get to know the resort and decide, hey, that looks like that's a great place for our family or for us as a couple or a single, you know, whatever it is. And that kind of helps you get going. And then fill out the quote form. We'll find out the pricing, the availability. But jump on it, man. I'm telling you, rooms are flying, especially if you want to go in 2021. But we'll find you something. We're flexible. We're creative. So we'll get you something. So just fill out the quote form, mention the show. I'll take great care of you over there. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. Great way to support the show. One extra click. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put the show out every week, multiple times a week. And our patrons get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. So it'll be tomorrow. And it's going to be open mic part 2, 5 topics, 5 minutes. You never know what's going to come at you. So if you want to get in on that, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Of course, follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. Pam's at TMFLT Pam. Ricky's at Ricky Nibs. So give them a follow on the socials as well, because I think Ricky's over her break.
I am over my break, yes.
Just make sure. It was a break. We were on a break.
I was on a break. Yes, yes.
Fringe reference. There you go. Look at that.
Speaking of that, it's interesting. This weekend, I am going to a friend's like social media like experience. So like it's all different sets and stuff like that from the series Friends, and I'm really excited about it. So
it's kind of scary because I'm trying to hit like that 21-year-old demographic there with Friends, because that seems to be the people that always have the shirts on now.
They are, yes. I'm so excited about this. Also, I think it's very funny that everybody who's like way younger than me is watching Friends now, and right. I sat there and watched it live.
Well, it's kind of like when I was a kid, my dad always like had Leave It to Beaver on. And I actually liked Leave It to Beaver when I was a kid. Yeah. Like, you know, Brady Bunch and stuff. And that was kind of before my time. Anyway, we're totally digressing. So we'll be back again on Friday. Again, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. You're getting a little notification when we go live. We love having you here in the chat. It makes the show so much better. And we had a fun, I have to say, if I have to say it myself, like my grandma used to say, if I have to toot my own horn, I'll have to toot it right here. We had a fun pre-show on the video today, which isn't on the audio. So just check it out over on youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.